Jones and Gambo, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. This is the Suns Front Office Show, presented by First Bank. First Bank is proud to be the official bank of the Phoenix Suns. First Bank, banking for good, member FDIC.
Scheduled, as we always are, every Tuesday at 3 o'clock to talk with James Jones, the general manager of the Phoenix Suns. I say scheduled because we have not heard from James yet, but he's usually very good about calling in, so I imagine that phone's going to ring here any second. Suns losers last night to the LA Lakers on the road. One more game tomorrow night against the Golden State Warriors at home before the much-needed All-Star break, and much-needed for obvious reasons. Man, the team is all sorts of banged up. DeAndre Ayton hurt ankle again. He didn't play last night. Kelly Oubre, and not that this is a function of anything other than, you know, just an accident, but Kelly Oubre missing that team bus last night, not getting the start. It looks like this is a team that just could use a little bit of a break, which is funny to say because I thought they were competitive, as shorthanded as they were. Boy, they were competitive in stretches of that game last night against the Lakers, and they certainly are coming off what I thought was a very encouraging weekend by demolishing the Rockets the way they did and hanging with the Nuggets the way they did. And from all of that to suddenly looking like a team that very much kind of needs this All-Star break to hit the reset button a little bit going into the final 20-something whatever games of the year.
Man, I just undermanned last time. I just didn't have the They didn't have the players to go compete with the Lakers. It was tough. Rajon Rondo got hot. When he got hot, that was it, right? And Danny Green did a good job on Book, who had a rough game. So you're right. I mean, this team, they hung around for a while. That first quarter was exciting.
Yeah.
And with the Cam Johnson dunk and just, you know, it was a one-point game. And then even in the second quarter and even part of the third quarter, but then eventually the lead got to 15 by the end of the third, and then the Lakers just put it away in the fourth.
Luka Doncic told reporters today after practicing, quote, "I'm ready," close quote. He will play tomorrow night against the Kings. He will play in the All-Star game. And the tweet that I'm reading from Tim McMahon, who covers the Mavs for ESPN.com, "The All-Star game was never really in question. Sorry, Devin Booker." His exact words.
Yep.
So the guy who covers the Mavs basically saying that he was never going to not play in that game, Devin. Sorry,
and that was
that's not going to be your in.
Right, and that was Booker's only hope, right? Somebody getting injured.
Yeah.
I mean, and still a few days left. You never know what could happen. Maybe somebody gets hurt tonight, but you're not really rooting for anybody to get hurt. Look, Book didn't make it. That's it. He didn't make it. He needed an injury to get him in. Doesn't look like anybody's injured. They're all going to play a new All-Star game as of right now.
Yeah. Around the association, while we wait for James Jones to call in, around the association last night, D'Angelo Russell made his debut in a losing effort from the Minnesota Timberwolves against the Toronto Raptors.
They played two games since they acquired him. They beat the hell out of the Clippers. Had a really good game against the Clippers and won. D'Angelo didn't play in that game, but they lost to Pascal Siakam, is such a great player, and Toronto was able to win that game last night. D'Angelo played, had a good game. They're excited to get, you know, about him in Minnesota. They're excited about their future with him and Kat going forward. But that's a tough first game. Toronto, even losing Kawhi Leonard, has still been a really, really great basketball team this year.
Pascal Siakam.
Siakam got paid. Like, he got big-time money, and he is a stud. He has been sensational. One of the best players in all the NBA. He's been that good. So Toronto, yeah, I mean, you look at the East, and there's probably five or six teams that can win the East, and Toronto is still one of them, even despite the fact that they lost Kawhi Leonard.
It's a 15-game win streak for the Toronto Raptors. That's the second longest in the NBA this year. Only the Milwaukee Bucks and their 18-game win streak they had earlier was longer. Russell was really good until the fourth quarter. He had 9 points in the first. He had 16 in the first half. He had 22 through the first three quarters, but he ended with 22. He only had, I think, an assist and two turnovers in like 7 minutes of fourth quarter action. So when the game, and I'm not saying this justifies getting him or not getting him, it's going to work, it's not going to work. Like we've said after the NBA trade deadline, the Minnesota Timberwolves, if you're a Suns fan, just became the second most interesting team to watch, right?
Right.
And not that I'm going to sit there and get on NBA League Pass and watch every single minute of the Timberwolves. I'm not going to do that. But you better believe if they play the night before, I'm going to check out that box score. I'm going to see how it works.
Yeah.
I'm going to see how it goes.
Yeah.
And Kat was great. And D'Angelo Russell, until the fourth quarter, was really good. But it didn't equate to a win. They were playing our super hot Toronto Raptor team. But at the end of the day, it did not equate to a win for the Timberwolves. And that's something that's going to bear watching between now and the rest of the regular season.
I was looking at a grade, grading D'Angelo Russell's debut with the Timberwolves. They gave a B+. 22 points, 7 to 12 from the field, 4 or 5 from 3, 4 or 4 from the free throw line, no rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 6 turnovers. So they gave him a B+ in his first game. And then just, you know, some people were saying, you know, he's as advertised, he could score. Like, you know what you're getting in the kid, right? He's been around the league for a few years. You've got a chance to see him with the Lakers and with the Nets and a little bit with the Warriors. This is his fourth team. But he was brought there to bring some firepower to that offense and try to get that team over this hump that they've been in for a number of years, and that's try to make that a playoff contending team. And that's not going to happen overnight, and it's not going to happen with just D'Angelo and Karl Anthony Towns. They're going to have to go to this offseason and say, just like the Suns, how do we make our team better and support these guys to give them more help?
LeBron James says he's just going to have to wait and see how his body feels at the end of the season before he commits to the Olympics or not.
Yeah, I read that story in the LA Times today, and it was basically like, it's just my body. It's just, you know, we'll see. Now, he's been in, what, 3 different Olympics. He was on a team that won bronze and a couple that won gold. Boy, watching him play last night, he is still great. Like, he is still 35 years old.
He's still
and
very
he's
good.
Still great.
Yeah,
it is amazing. He's the Tom Brady of the NBA. Like, just keep going and going. You're waiting for these guys to, like, all right, come on, man, age. Like, come on. Age is supposed to catch up to you right now. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Start struggling. Just take a bunch of jump shots because you can't drive and you can't get to the rim. Just become a jump shooter. That's what old players do. They become jump shooters. Michael Jordan, at the end of his career, was a jump shooter.
Sure, of course. Yeah.
You know, so you're not seeing that with LeBron. But the Olympics will be interesting, right? Because if he decides not to play in the Olympics, that opens up another spot.
I think a lot of it, and I was thinking about that when I saw the LeBron story, and of course we're talking about this locally with Devin Booker and whether he's going to make the team or not. I think a lot of this participation, how deep do the Clippers go in the NBA playoffs, and how much of a break does Kawhi Leonard or Paul George want? How deep are the Lakers going to go?
Depends
and
on
how
that.
Much of a break does LeBron and Anthony Davis? Not that those are positions Devin Booker plays, but I do think that matters. I think that's kind of relevant to the conversation because, I mean, think about Kawhi Leonard. Let's just Kawhi Leonard, for example, or even LeBron James. Long, deep playoff run last summer. Long season this year. Long, deep playoff run this summer.
I want some rest.
You might decide I want a break.
Especially if you've done it before.
Yep.
I've represented my country. I've won a gold medal. I want a break. I want rest. I'm older. I need to take care of my body.
You know, when you play those full playoff series, I mean, you're basically tacking on. I mean, how many extra seasons has LeBron James played in his career just from the playoffs?
Like 2,
right?
Like 2 to 3.
With all the games worth that he's played, that all that extra mileage. And Kawhi Leonard's a young guy, but man, he played a lot of games last year. He played a lot of games in the playoffs last year. And if they do it again with the Clippers this year, he might decide he wants a break. And same thing in the Eastern Conference. How far does Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat go? How far do the Celtics go? How far do the Bucks go? I mean, it's you have to look at each team and wonder, does the participation of their players in the Olympics depend on how deep into the postseason those guys go and whether they'll say, you know what, on second thought, I'm good. I need the rest. I need the break. Because you go play in the Olympics. I don't know when the exact dates are for the Olympics, but I imagine you're done with the season. You probably have about a month before you fly over to Tokyo. You're there for 2-3 weeks. You're training for it all up until that point. And then by the time you're done with the Olympics, you have what? A couple weeks?
Couple
3 weeks before you have to turn right around for training camp again? In the era of load management, some of the very elite players who've been there and done it before might decide they don't want to do it again. Might decide they'll take a pass this year.
239 playoff games.
For LeBron?
That's 3 seasons.
3 seasons.
Wow.
The Olympics begin July 26th.
That's group stage play, so you're going to have to be there even earlier than that.
The finals don't end until Father's Day?
August, wait.
The NBA finals.
The gold medal match, just for context, is August 8th.
Okay. So the NBA finals typically end on or around Father's Day, which is mid-June. The Olympics start 5 weeks after that. It's a quick turnaround. Real quick turnaround. I know it's the Olympics, and I know a lot of guys will suck it up to be in the Olympics. But again, to your point, if you've done it before, you might be inclined, if you're coming off a deep playoff run, you might be inclined to say, "Yeah, I'll take a pass this year."
I know a little bit about this, but I know it's not in China, it's Japan. But is that coronavirus going to come into play here with some people not wanting to go? I mean, it is Asia.
I don't know. That's it.
It's traveling to Asia.
I had dinner with a friend last night who was mentioning to me that her daughter might go on an overseas trip to somewhere in Asia. And she was like, "I'm not sure that's going to be in the plans anymore. We'll just have to see how this goes."
Just a quick Google search on that provides a article from ESPN yesterday. What does this mean for the 2020 Summer Olympics? Coronavirus. New York Times 4 days ago. Coronavirus could cause issues for Japan.
Yeah.
So that's a real
for Japan,
possibility.
But the two games are not in Japan.
Yeah, they are.
They're in Tokyo. Oh, they're in Japan.
Yeah.
Not in China.
So China is where the coronavirus started from. Japan is where the games are. But yeah, like I said, I had it reversed. But I just wonder if that plays a factor with some people like thinking, "Man, I'm not going to go."
It could. I don't know. I who knows? But these are all things to consider when we try to figure out whether Devin Booker's going to make that team or not, because that would obviously be a tremendous honor for him if he did. Here in Arizona, we're feeling pretty good about the offseason the Diamondbacks have put together.
Good are we feeling?
So good that when we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, we're going to talk about how good we feel about it compared to everybody else in baseball. That's next on the Burns and Gambo show. I love how this article did this. It's got a little Star Wars theme to it. This is cool. Well, no, and it's not all Star Wars. Okay. Never mind. Gambo sent me this link today to this story on The Athletic about the ranking all the 30 baseball teams and the off seasons that they had. And so I just read what was written about the Diamondbacks. I didn't read the rest of the article until just now when I clicked
you
on it.
You saw the Death Star.
The two teams that finished 1 and 2 on the list are being classified as fully operational Death Stars. Number 2, the LA Dodgers. Number 1, the New York Yankees, is having the best off seasons. Then the very next category is not all in, but they are pot committed, which is a poker reference, obviously. And in that category, you will find the Minnesota Twins, who added Maeda and Josh Donaldson and Homer Bailey and Rich Hill. You'll find the White Sox, who added Keuchel and Grandal and Edwin Encarnacion. You'll find the Nationals, who added Will Harris and Cabrera, and even though they lost Rendon, they still made some good additions. The Reds, with Moustakas and Castellanos and Wade Miley. And then you'll find the Arizona Diamondbacks, number 7. 7th best offseason in Major League Baseball in the not all in, but pot committed category for baseball off-seasons.
One of the things Mike Hazen said when he was on Newsmakers Week with Doug and Wolf was that it's not a money thing. We have plenty of money to do what we need to do. Remember that comment when he said that?
Yeah.
So they're spending money, right? What, 120, 125, 130? The payrolls, you know, it's
around 125.
They're not spending $200 million. They're not spending what the Dodgers and the Yankees are spending, but they're spending enough.
He said it's more than enough. We can accomplish what we want with what we're spending.
Yeah,
it's more than enough.
They're not pinching pennies here. I mean, I think the Pirates have a payroll of under $30 million. I'm serious. After they traded Starlin Marte, like, their payroll is ridiculous. They're not paying anybody. You know, the Diamondbacks have done enough to add good players. Now, you know, they're not breaking the bank on Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, Mookie Betts. They're not. They did that once with Greinke, and the feeling from Mike Hazen is that we can't do business like that. We can't have one guy taking up a third of our payroll,
right?
Because then I'm going to battle with a bullpen making $4 million, and I'm cheapening so many other positions to have one guy that's going to play in 35 games. So they don't want to do that. They can. They proved they could. They signed Greinke to that contract,
sure,
and they paid him for a few years. And they made the playoffs 1 year. But it's not the way that they want to do things. They want more balance, and so they're not in the market of paying $35 million to a guy.
Here's the balance that you're talking about, and it's funny. I speaking of articles on The Athletic, I read one today from Zach Buchanan, who's the beat writer who covers the Diamondbacks. And he phrased it in a way I hadn't really thought of. So Zach Greinke got, what, $206 million?
Yes.
From the Arizona Diamondbacks when they signed him? This past offseason, Mike Hazen shelled out $180 million for five guys.
Marte, Calhoun, Bumgarner, Rondon, and the other.
No.
Bumgarner, Calhoun, Marte,
Peralta.
Oh, okay, their own guys.
And Ahmed.
Okay, their own guys. Okay.
$180 million. So, Zach Greinke, $206 million, one guy. Now, $180 million, five guys. It's a different philosophy. We all wondered, how would Mike Hazen spend the savings of getting off the Greinke deal? There you go. Five guys, $180 million. That's how he did it. Rather than give it to one guy, how can I spread that? How can I make it so that, like, next year, they had all sorts of room under the payroll. Well, they've spent some of that now. They spent it on Starling Marte. They spent it on David Peralta. They spent it on Nick Ahmed and Cole Calhoun. They spent it on Madison Bumgarner, obviously. They spent some of it because you've got to, you know, players aren't going to want to come to a team that looks like a mess. Players aren't going to want to come to a team where they look at it and go, man, who do you have under contract? Nobody? Why would I want to go play there? You've got to create a foundation. And Mike Hazen, by signing those guys, created a foundation to continue to build what he's grown here. I know we keep joking about it. Mike Hazen had one hell of an offseason. He really did.
Yeah, he did. And that's why they've got the seventh-ranked, you know, offseason of any of these. And look at the teams that were ahead of him, right? I mean, it's, you know, it's the Yankees and it's the Dodgers.
Well, they're in their own category.
Some of those teams are in their own category. But what it did is it gives you a chance to compete with everybody else that's going to be trying to get to the playoffs outside of the, you take the Dodgers out of it, right? The Nationals lost one of their best players. Okay, they just won the World Series, but they lost one of their best players. They weren't able to keep everybody, so they lost the guy. You know, the Astros lost one of their best players because they weren't able to keep him. The Red Sox lost one of their best players because they weren't able to keep him. But when you start to look at the Braves, the Reds, the Cubs, the Phillies, and all those other teams, the Diamondbacks are right there. They're right there with those teams, if not ahead of those teams.
Mike Hazen this morning on Newsmakers Week, do you think you have a playoff roster? Here's his answer.
We sit around and say we have a good team. We have a bunch of good baseball players that I think know how to win, that know how to play the game, that are going to prepare and play the right way. We have a coaching staff that's dedicated to push those guys to win. And that makes you feel good. The playoffs are going to be the result of 162 games of quality baseball being played.
But he says, we think we are better than we were a year ago, for sure.
We understand where we are right now. We understand where we hope to be in the future with regard to having a consistent winner year over year. I don't know exactly where we are in that cycle. I do think we're better than where we left the season at the end of the year last year. Mm-hmm. That makes me extremely confident and feel good about where we're heading into the season. And I hope it's a very exciting, long, positive run of baseball that culminates with us telling a story at the end of the year. And that story being something that we can all be proud of.
It was funny to hear him talk about it. And I always mentioned this before. With the Bumgarner signing and the way it kind of kickstarted everything, he said, it's not like we set out to do that. Because I didn't know exactly what we were going to do. I didn't have a roadmap for exactly how this offseason was going to go. And the Bumgarner thing, I got the impression that just kind of fell in their lap. You know, that it was, oh,
remember how it went.
Yeah, you want to come here? Okay, let's talk about why you want to come here and how you want to come here. Well, if you're going to come here, we need you to help us out in the first year of the deal. Okay, I'll help you out in the first year of the deal and only make $6 million. Oh,
I remember it. I remember it like it was yesterday. The feeling was he was going to get $100 million. And they were like, they're not there. Like, if the number came down dramatically from $100 million, then the Diamondbacks would be in play. But the feeling was that Bumgarner was trying to get $100 million. And the Diamondbacks, and we reported this, the Diamondbacks were not going to pay $100 million, that it had to come down. And then it came down like $15 million.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that point, it's like, okay, we could do that. We can do that.
Well, especially when he's only going to make $6 million in the first year. That's what makes it eminently doable.
In the end, it's the money is still the money. Whatever they said they were going to pay him, it's not $100 million, which made them say, okay, we could do this. This is a worthwhile gamble. This is not a high risk. For a player of this caliber, this is not spending $300 million like the Yankees did on Cole. Not spending $206 million like we did on Greinke. Not even spending $100 million for a guy that's been a top-flight pitcher.
Yep. Today is Arizona Sports Ticket Window Tuesday. Listen today at 4:15. You can win a pair of tickets to the country artist of your choice between either Chris Stapleton on June 5th
or Sam Hunt on September 25th, and I'm voting for Chris Stapleton. When Cliff Kingsbury was hired, many questioned exactly what the Cardinals were doing. Now, Cliff is being credited for making Arizona a premier free agent destination. Is that what we are? We'll try to find out next on the Burns and Gambo Show. John Gambadero, Dave Burns, the Burns and Gambo Show. 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Hope you're having a good Tuesday. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for letting us keep you company on your way home or wherever you are right now, in your office, in your car, whatever the case may be. There are certain guys who cover the NFL that we've noticed over the years are more inclined to say nice things about the Arizona Cardinals than others. Pete Prisco comes to mind.
Yes.
CBS Sports.
Didn't he go to ASU?
I believe he went to ASU. Your guy?
He's on the train.
He is on the train.
Yeah.
Well, now you're mixing metaphors. I mean, the Cardinals, the train is an ASU thing.
Okay.
But
he went to ASU, so he's on the train.
Oh, I guess he's on that train. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were going like the Cardinals now have a train.
No, they don't have
a
train.
No, there's only one train in town, and that's Herm's.
That's it. Yeah.
It belongs to.
That train's all there.
It belongs to him. Nobody else gets trained. He's the only one who gets trained. Pete Prisco's one. Your guy. Adam Schein is definitely another.
He is.
Your Arizona Cardinals.
And that's scratching a chalkboard.
The outstanding manager of your Arizona Cardinals. Steve Keim.
Oh, my God.
Seriously, when he's ordering a latte at Starbucks, do you think he talks like that? Or is that like his, I'm on the radio voice?
I love that response, Cliff. That's a great answer.
A caramel latte with
extra whip.
Pump. And a jelly.
There's no way he talks like that when he's ordering a latte at Starbucks.
I don't know.
He talks like a normal human being. That's his, I'm on the air voice.
Jeez.
Your Arizona Cardinals.
I mean, listen,
what are you cringing about in there, sir?
That voice.
The Schein voice?
Yeah. It's the worst. Listen, you should be able to, like, on the radio, I control my voice a little bit more than when I'm, like, home and with other people because my accent is so damn strong.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I can cut back on my accent a little bit with you guys here. I do. I cut back on it.
Well said. That answer right there is why the Arizona Cardinals are always ahead of the curve.
Should be able to do something with that. Like, he should be able to do something with that.
Should be able to fix that. Yes, he should.
I can limit my accent so it's not overbearing on people when I'm on the radio. And I do that.
Peter Schrager is another guy that I would say historically says nice things about the Arizona Cardinals. He is the host of Good Morning Football on the NFL Network. He's been covering the NFL for a long time. On Good Morning Football this morning, he said this about the Arizona Cardinals and their offseason and free agency.
The Arizona Cardinals are going to be the hottest offseason destination for free agents this offseason. Kyler Murray is a young quarterback. Cliff Kingsbury is a player-friendly coach. The environment, you're living in the sun, and they've got a ton of money to spend. They're young. Cliff is not trying to be a dictator. Let's just have my way or the highway. He's showing that you can be nice to the players, and the veterans can experience both fun and have possible success. Cool new offense. Arizona Cardinals, not the Chiefs, not the 49ers. Arizona Cardinals will be the hotspot. Not the Vegas Raiders for a lot of free agents this offseason.
Before I give a sign, do they have bags of money?
They got money?
All right, then, okay.
You buying that?
To a certain extent, I'm not going to discount that.
Okay.
I think that there are, listen, place to live, palm trees and sun, low cost of living in comparison to other places, low cost of living, young quarterback, exciting offense, coach that players enjoy playing for. But the Cardinals are not going to overspend. And mark my words on this. They're not going to overspend. The problem is that a lot of the free agents who get paid bigger money, $5 million plus, they don't pan out. Two-thirds of all the free agents that are paid more than $5 million a year, they don't pan out. So we say this all the time, right? It's fool's gold for the most part. Fool's gold is when 65 to 70% of the free agents don't work out. So the Cardinals, it's better to draft well, pay your own guys, be patient, and spend wisely in free agency, but don't overspend. And I expect that the Cardinals will spend wisely and not overspend in free agency. That's what I expect. Because there are so many misses in free agency. And the statistics that I have show that you miss on two-thirds of the guys. For every three guys that get signed, two-thirds of those guys
that
miss.
Well, yeah, and while I appreciate your stats, I think anybody who's been following football for the last 10 years knows that free agency, look, it's fun. When free agency starts here in a few weeks, we're going to have fun covering it because, man, guys are going to get big money. Guys are going to go places we're not expecting. Deals are going to happen that are going to blow our minds, and the guaranteed money is going to absolutely just blow our socks off. All that's going to happen. But when the dust settles, you do realize, and I think a lot of savvy football fans do know, that a lot of these big money deals, a lot of these medium money deals very rarely work out. And most of the time, after 2 years of going, oh, God, can we get off that contract?
Right.
How do we get away from that contract? How do we get rid of that contract? And that's the reality of free agency. It's like buying something with a credit card, and you go, hey, look what I got. And then you make the credit card payment. You go, oh, my God, how much is this going to cost? How long do I have to pay for this? How long am I going to pay this thing off? Right? That's
me when I'm in the other. Honey!
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Honey!
When you're paying your Discover bill, you're like, what is this?
Sony American Express.
Uh-huh. Exactly. That's free agency in the NFL. Now, even the low-paying free agents. Darius Filon was not an expensive free agent signing by the Cardinals.
No.
Terrible signing.
Didn't work out.
Terrible. They didn't know at the time that it was a terrible signing. It was a total waste of money. Total waste of money.
You think about those things, right? Remember how excited everybody was that the Cardinals had the first pick in the waiver wire?
Oh, see,
they got the first pick.
Do me a favor. Don't say everybody. I was never that excited about that.
But some people were.
Some people were very excited about it.
But you know what? Fool's gold. You don't get anybody.
We get the top guy cut by
all these other teams.
So what? So what?
You can have them.
Woo! Yay, great.
Nothing. What did it land them? Nothing. They got nobody. The year before, Cleveland got nobody. You don't get anybody.
But as far as this idea that the Cardinals are somehow a destination, I would agree to a certain extent. Like, I'm going to compare them with the Suns. Okay, the Phoenix Suns should be a free agent destination. They're not. We all know it. The Phoenix Suns are in a situation where if they want to get a guy here, they're going to have to overpay him in free agency. We just accept that as reality, right? The Cardinals are not in that situation. The Cardinals should never have to overpay to bring anybody here. But I also don't think someone's going to take significantly less to sign with the Cardinals. At the end of the day, money talks. And if Team A, Team B, and Team C, and the Cardinals are Team C, if they're all offering a free agent about the same amount of money and about the same guaranteed cash, I would imagine that player would have an inclination to sign with the Cardinals because of everything you mentioned. Cost of living, young quarterback, cool coach, nice place to live. But if the Cardinals are offering significantly less for that same guy than Team A or Team B, he's going to go to Team A or Team B 90% of the time. Money talks in this process.
Who was interested in signing Mad Bum before outside of the
Twins, if I remember right?
Because it was something that cost the living came in, too.
Oh, it's California teams.
It was the Angels.
Because the taxes.
So $85 million from the Diamondbacks was worth $100 million in the Angels. It was the same money.
Yeah.
Because of the taxes and the cost of living.
I just don't think the Cardinals can count on cost of living and how cool Cliff Kingsbury is to go lowballing a bunch of free agents thinking they're going to come here because of those reasons. At the end of the day, you still have to pay players competitively what the marketplace says they're worth. And if you do that, then I think they'll come here.
Hey, Wilkes' house is for sale.
$2.5 million?
Yeah.
Didn't I see that?
Is that what it was? 2.5?
I believe that's what I saw.
$2.5 million.
Yeah. Yeah, was it Wisenhunt's house too? Can they is it just like a kind of a rotating?
Yeah, is that what it is?
I don't know.
Leave him to the next guy.
I don't know, Cliff.
Whatever house you have, you leave it for the next guy.
Stop.
You should be in Wilkes's house. Like he was in BA's house.
Uh huh.
And BA could leave the time machine or the hot tub or what's it called?
The chill zone.
The chill zone.
Bruce Arians did not invent a time machine.
The chill zone.
Bruce Arians did not have a hot tub time machine.
I miss the ultimate chill zone.
He had a chill zone. He had a chill zone.
It comes with a chill zone.
Purple
house.
Is really chill zone.
You know what?
Oh. And magentas. Get ready to roll. I'm going to jack you up.
This house was owned by Vince Tobin, Dave McGinnis, Dennis Green, Ken Wisenhunt.
But if Bruce Arians did have a time machine, a hot tub time machine, can we jump in that bad boy and not give David Johnson $30 million guaranteed? That's all I'm saying. Can we jump right into that time machine and undo some of that? What would
if
be the
you
first?
Could jump in a time machine and redo one thing, what would you do?
It for the Cardinals?
Oh, just for life.
Oh, for life. God. That's a heavy question, Gambo. That's a heavy, heavy question. And I'm not going to answer it right now in this setting because it might not go over real well. For the baseball purists, the idea is sacrilege. Is it a good idea for the playoffs to go through some kind of change? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
I usually never go past violet.
I really liked what you said when we talked about this briefly earlier in the show, these new proposed playoff changes.
About what I didn't like it when it first came into effect.
Yeah.
And then, I was a bit, you know, the saying baseball purist, right?
Yeah, you're a baseball purist.
I'm a baseball purist. I love the history of the game. I've been to Cooperstown. I love baseball. So when they changed and added the wild cards, I was completely against it. I don't want it. I just want the division winners. You know, why should you reward a team for not winning the division? That was me.
Mm-hmm.
Now the wild card's in play, and I'm like, you know what? It's good for baseball. It's good for baseball because it keeps a lot of markets interested. So if you've got a team running away with the division, and they're going to win 102 games to the Dodgers, it gives other teams hope. All right, can't win a division, but might be able to make the playoffs. So it gives everybody else some hope, and it gives their fan base a reason to watch in August and September. Because they're in a wild card race. They can't make the division. They can't win a division. So I think the wild card has been really good for baseball. Now, with these new proposals of adding more playoff teams, my initial thought is like I was being a baseball purist. I don't want them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want this to turn into hockey. I don't want 16 teams in the playoffs.
Right.
Like basketball. I think it's too many.
But just the fact that you even bring up the fact that you've changed your mind about it from the wild card round
Sure. Indicates
to me, and you tell me if I'm misinterpreting this, indicates to me you've got a willingness to consider that perhaps changes to the postseason format that ultimately you might decide, you know what, on second thought, that's not a bad idea.
You know, the type of
on
person,
second thought, I like that more than I thought I was going to like it if they end up doing it.
You know, the type of person I am, like, my wife could show me, I want to do this, and this to a room. I'm like, I need to see it. I need to see what that room's going to look like and tell you if I like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
She could show me a paint swab. Do you like this color? I'm like, I don't know. Put it on the wall, and then I'll tell you whether I like it or not. Do you like this couch? Well, I don't know. Let me see it in the house in front of the TV, and then I'll tell you if I like it. So for me, I need to see it, right? I need to get a couple of years of seeing the baseball playoffs expanded to be able to tell you if I think it's I like it or not. From the outside looking in, I'm pretty much a no to everything.
Yeah.
I am.
I like how you say that. By now, I would imagine most people have heard about the proposed changes. Nothing's official, obviously, and I think a couple things. Number one, I think this story was leaked so that baseball could gauge the reaction among its fans, whether its fans like this idea or not. Number two, I think this was leaked just to give us all kind of a distraction to stop us from talking about the Astros, because that was a dominant storyline going into spring training, the Astros and what they've done.
It's only
going
to pick up, though.
I mean, Marwin Gonzalez came out today. He became the first position player from the Astros. Now, he's not with the Astros anymore. He's with the Twins. But the first to say, I'm sorry, we shouldn't have done it, our bad. There's a story today on The Athletic, a damning report, in which it makes Carlos Beltran, who was then a player with the Astros.
Like a bully.
This is what we're doing. I'm Carlos Beltran, 20-year veteran, one of the most esteemed guys in baseball. Nobody can tell me we're not.
You told me Brian McCann, the veteran catcher who played with the Braves and the Yankees, went to Carlos Beltran and said, knock it off, and he said no?
He said no. He steamrolled everybody, according to the report, to the point where A.J. Hinch didn't even feel like he had the power to tell the players no, because by telling Beltran no, he would have lost the room. That's now the belief that Carlos Beltran, and to a lesser extent, Alex Cora, were kind of the bullies and just said, nope, this is what we're doing. And that the younger guy, because at that point, Altuve was not an MVP. At that point, Verlander wasn't on the team. At that point, there wasn't anybody veteran enough to step up and say, no, it was a bunch of young kids.
435 home runs, 1,587 RBIs. Does this take him out of the Hall of Fame?
Might.
If he was the ringleader of this?
Yeah, might. It might. I mean, if that level of cheating is enough to keep Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire and those guys out of the Hall of Fame, it might be enough to keep him out of the Hall of Fame, sure.
Played for the Astros for one season.
Yeah. The postseason suggestion, and by now, I imagine everybody's heard about it, but just in case, it would go from 10 teams getting in to 14 teams
getting in. It would be the division winner with the best record gets a first round bye. Second best division winner gets then to choose one of the wild card teams they play. The third best division winner gets to choose the other.
Boy, be careful what you wish for, right?
Well, see,
imagine if you pick a team and you lose to them. Like, should have picked the other team,
right? See, now that part I don't like. I don't like that part because it's like, oh, you're picking us because you want to play us because you think you can beat us.
The other team.
Screw you, right? So I think that part needs to go. But I loved what Mike Hazen, when he was on Doug and Wolf today, I loved how he answered the question. He goes, look, this particular plan, I don't know, but here's what I do like about this idea.
I am a huge fan of evolving our game and change. Huge fan. I love the purity of our game. I love the traditional nature of baseball. I think it's been played in general in the same way for 100 years. I love that. I love the fact that no matter how good it gets, everyone just hits 300, you know? And everyone says, people have been failing 70% of the time for 100 years, no matter what we've done to the game. I love those things.
But
I think as an industry, we always have to be on the forefront of evolution. We always have to be on the forefront of what is more exciting to the fans. I mean, we are an entertainment business in a lot of ways. And we love, you know, that's the beauty of professional sports. And how do we marry those two things? I don't think we should ever be resistant to the concept of change. What the specifics of change are, I get it.
See, now, not only do I agree with that, but something else he said later, and I do agree with this wholeheartedly. If you were to ask me right now, what is my favorite thing about Major League Baseball, I would tell you that the postseason is my favorite thing. I love October baseball. I look forward to it every year. You're going to tell me you're offering me more October baseball? I'm not going to say no to that. I like October, but I would like more. Not a lot more, but I would like more October baseball because I think the sport can deliver a little bit more October baseball than it's delivering right now because that's when the sport is at its very, very best.
You know those days when we come in and there's three games on in one day?
I hate working those
days. It's hard to do a show.
I hate working those days. I mean, I love my
job. We come in at 11, there's a game on, and then there's another game that starts at 2, and then there's another.
I just want to stay home and watch baseball.
Yeah.
Because those are my favorite. I back when I did Diamondbacks post-game shows, I always used to take a week off when the season ended to kind of decompress after the long season. I loved that it was right in the middle of baseball playoffs, as long as the Diamondbacks weren't in it, because I could stay at home and just watch the game, soak it up, enjoy it. If you give me the opportunity to have more games to enjoy because there are more teams, I don't know how you get there, but I like that idea because I think baseball's postseason is something to be treasured, enjoyed, and yes, expanded a little bit.
By the way, did we renew our MLB at bat for this season?
We?
Did we?
We? We? Yes, Gambo.
Just making sure.
I renewed my MLB TV subscription.
Just making sure that we renewed our subscription to MLB at bat. It's good. Love that thing.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. You know, one of these days, I'd be real careful if I were you, okay? Because one of these days, you're going to do something to really piss me off.
Yeah.
And I'm going to change the password.
What?
And when I change the password.
Blasphemy.
And when I change the password.
Oh, no.
I ain't giving you the new one. So you be nice to me. You take care of me. You be good to me. Because you know what? If I went and changed some passwords, I could. ESPN.com insider password changed.
Uh-oh.
MLB.com password changed.
Uh-oh. Do I have MLB? I don't think I have your MLB.com. You have to send that to me.
It's the same.
Is it the same one?
One?
Oh, it's the same one. Okay.
Yeah.
Gambo really cracked himself up there.
Well, you were good. Well, because I saw you laughing so hard.
Funny.
You were really laughing.
That was very funny.
And you made me laugh because you were laughing
we
so much.
Did we renew our subscription?
I recently had a similar conversation regarding a Netflix password.
Oh, yeah?
Kyle, what is our password
Yeah,
now?
This is not an R situation. This is a my situation. This is a singular, not a plural.
I got an extra Spotify. You want one?
I'm good. Thank you. I don't want to see the songs you're playing on Spotify. I don't want to be notified of that.
No?
From missed buses to small ball lineups. It was an interesting night last night in L.A. for the Suns. That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.